Tape recorded message number TL-553. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to the prophecy of Hosea. Hosea chapter 6, we will review the three verses that I dealt with in the previous study. It is the voice of Israel, the people of Israel, Judahites as well as Israelites, all Israel, that says here in the first verse, come and let us return, that is, let us turn to the Lord. Yet it is a return. It's a conversion, because he has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. Then the statement that I explained in the last study, after 2 days, I believe it's 48 hours, will he revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Now get it. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain upon the earth. I have told you that I'm confident that this happens. It starts in the day when God turns on the light. His lightnings enlighten the world, the psalmist said. The people saw and trembled, and all men stood in fear, in respect, in worship of God. This is what happens when God acts. And when God does act, when he makes his move, it's going to be for good, for the good of the world, for the good of all nations, and for the good of Israel. Oh, he can make his judgments, and he will make his judgments. And many will have to be eliminated, and others will be welcomed into the kingdom. But this is what happens to Israel on the first 3 days of the kingdom. They don't know what's going to happen when the light is turned on. It reveals to them the nature of their sin, especially their sin of the constant rejection of all the claims of Jesus Christ. They don't know what's going to take place. And yet the time will come when God will lift them up from this depressed, miserable condition, their affliction, and will live. We'll live before his face, we will live in his sight. And so that is what this portion deals with, a marvelous prophecy. Now we continue. We get the response of Jehovah to this. The fourth verse of the sixth chapter, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Their goodness. They could have it for a little while, but it was like the morning cloud. It was like the early dew. It simply disappeared. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I've cut them by the prophets. I've had the prophets to speak the most cutting words to them. I've slain them by the words of my mouth. He had punished them this way. And thy judgments, well, they're plain, as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. He had instructed these people to bring burnt offerings. Their religion, their God-given religion, was composed of much of this. But he would rather have the knowledge of himself than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. They've violated my agreement with them. They dealt treacherously against me. He says, Gilead is the city of them that work iniquity, is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way of by consent, for they commit lewdness. Jehovah says, I have seen an horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defied. Also, O Judah, he has set an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. Now, Jehovah, Yahweh, continues to speak. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, that is, uncovered. The wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth it out, and they consider not in their hearts, though I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about, they are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from rising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners, for they have made ready their heart like an oven, while they lie in wait. Their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim, and that is a name of the 10-tribe northern kingdom, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. This cake would be a pancake. It's burnt on one side, and it's still wet and moist on the other side, and that's not eatable. You wouldn't want that. He says, Ephraim is a cake that's not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here, and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel, that is Yahweh, that's another name for Jehovah, the pride of Israel testifieth to his faith. And they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove, without heart. Ephraim calls to Egypt and to Assyria, thinking that Egypt and Assyria could deliver them from their difficulties. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heavens. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction of them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They're like a deceitful bow. The princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. That's the way they will be derided and ridiculed in the land of Egypt. Set the trumpet to the mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord. Because they have transgressed my covenant, and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, and this goes back to the days when Rehoboam established idolatry in the 10-tribe northern kingdom, try to get the people to quit going down to the land of Judah, where the temple was located and all the priests had gone. And they'd put up this calf. But he says, Thy calf, O Samaria, is cast thee off. My anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocence? Far from Israel was it also. The workman made it. Therefore it is not God. The workman made it. It couldn't be God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken into pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers are swallowed up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the nations. Translated Gentiles here, but it's a common word that means the other nations. As a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers, at great cost, at great price. She hired other nations as lovers to her. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be made unto him to sin. I have written unto him the great things of my law, but these are just tallied as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings, and they eat it. But the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity, and visit their sin. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his maker, and he buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Jehovah continues to speak. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people. For thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them. That is, the thrashing floor shall not feed them. The new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land. But Ephraim shall return to Egypt. And they shall eat the unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord. Neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All the eating thereof shall be polluted. For their bread, for their soul, shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will ye do in the solemn day, as in the day of the feast of the Lord? When these feasts come up, what are you going to do in that day? You know one thing about the divine religion, the law that God gave to Israel, it was not transportable. It was a religion that God gave them that could not be practiced, except when they were in the land of Palestine, in contact with the temple, and especially in contact with Jerusalem. What are you going to do in those days? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis, one of the great cities of Egypt, shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver. Nettle shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacle. That is, their houses just overrun by weeds and thorns. The days of visitation are come. The day is the recompense to come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, that is, Hosea's God. And he calls thee watchman. This was the true prophet. It is a word which is regularly used for the true prophets of God. But the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. They just sought these men to kill them, like a man, like the fowler would seek the bird. And all they experienced when they went into the house of God was hatred. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity, he will visit their sin. I have found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time, when they went to Baal Peor, and separated themselves under that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory, the people of the northern king, their glory shall fly away like a bird, from the birth, from the womb, and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them. There shall not be a man left, yea, way also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breath. All their wickedness is in Gilead. For there I hated them for the wickedness they're doing. I will drive them out of my house. I will love them more, all their princes revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even their beloved fruit of their womb. For God will cast them away, because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wonders among the nations. And that is what the people of Israel have been, wonders among the nations. Those 10 tribes, wonders among the nations, from that day until this. And we still see the fulfillment of this. They never returned to be the nation, northern kingdom, once again. But they'll just be wanderers among the nations. That's their future. They wouldn't concentrate in one place like in England, as some try to tell us, that hold the British Israel theory. But they'll be wanderers among the nations. Now, he declares, Israel is an empty vine. He just bringeth forth fruit to himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the alders. According to the goodness of his land, he's made goodly images. That's the way they rewarded God. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their alders and spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not Yahweh. What then should a king do for us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. This judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field, a poisonous weed springing up in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Beth Haven. Those idols in Beth Haven, they would fear because of them. For the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria, for a present to King Jared. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, that's the capital city. See, it's called Samaria. It says, her king is cut off as foam upon the water. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, where much idolatry is practiced, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars. They shall say to the mountains, cover us, to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their true furrows. Ephraim is an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I pass over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his cloth. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. See, the Lord reigns righteousness. This is a passage that has to do with the outflowing God. He will cause righteousness to come down like rain. That will be in the kingdom of God. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitudes of your mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among the people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled. The Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. in a morning shall the king of Israel be utterly cut off. Now Jehovah continues, and he is going to review Israel's history in the start of the 11th chapter. When Israel was a child, and I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. I loved him, Israel, when he first started the nation. He says, I called my son out of Egypt. Israel is referred to as God's son. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam, burned incense, the graven image. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat upon them. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to return, that is, return to Jehovah. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches and devour them, because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. It was a fashion of their life, and they wouldn't change that fashion. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. They'd use his name, but none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compassed me about with lies, the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. In these days of Hosea, just before Israel goes into Assyrian captivity, God says, Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with saints. Now, Jehovah continues. This all started back in Hosea 6. Ephraim feedeth on wind, followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. They do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. All this commerce between Egypt and Israel, and their agreements with the Assyrians. He says, the Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense them. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yet, yea, he had power over the angel, and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. Yahweh is his memorial. Therefore turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. In all my labors they shall find none iniquity in me that were sins. And I that am the Lord thy God in the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. I have also spoken by the prophet, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophet. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Could it be that in Israel that this is found? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal, yea, their altars as are heaped in the furrows of the field. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria. And Israel served for a wife. And for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. The prophet was Moses. And by a prophet he was preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. 13th chapter. It continues. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. Ephraim is put to the 10-tribe northern kingdom, a name often given to him. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. Whatever they made was to their own understanding. All of it the work of craftsmen. They say of them, let the men of sacrifice kiss the cat. Oh yes, very religious as they kiss the cat. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God in the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me, no Savior but God. And yet when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, the word was, thou shalt call his name Jesus, that is, call his name Jehovah the Savior, because he shall save his people from their sins. And if Jesus Christ is not God, then you have two saviors for Israel, God and Jesus Christ. But no, there's only one, not two, and just one Savior. So we get this word in other places in the Word of God, but this is plain enough. I did know thee in the wilderness and in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. And I will rend the caul of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tell them, tear them. O Israel, you have destroyed yourself, but me is your help. I will be your king. Yes, as God said in the book of Ezekiel, with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, will I be a king over you. It's translated, will I rule over you? But he will rule as a king. And he says right here, I will be thy king. Where is any other that they may save you in all your cities? And the judges of whom thou said, give me a king and princes. I gave them a king in my anger, but I took him away in my wrath. That had to do with Saul. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is his. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son. For he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. The power of the grave, that's resurrection. I will redeem them from death. They will be redeemed from death. That is the word Sheol. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I mean that's the word Sheol. I will be your destruction. I'll do this. Nothing will change my mind. Any change of mind will be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his springs shall become dry, his fountains shall be dried up, he shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate. Why? She hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and the women with child shall be ripped up. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for you have fallen by your iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, so will we render the calves the sacrifice of our lips. Asher shall not save us, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. He says, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew upon Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as a corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree, from me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, and the transgressors shall fall therein. So much in this about idolatry. And only yesterday I was reading in the works of J. C. Ryle an article that had to do with his definition of idolatry. And he made this statement, idolatry is a worship in which the honor due to God and to him only is given to some of his creatures or to some invention of his creatures. Honor that is due to God only is given to some of his creatures or to some invention of his creatures. Ryle says it may vary exceedingly. It may assume exceedingly different forms according to ignorance or the knowledge, the civilization or the barbarism of those who offer it. It may be, idolatry may be grossly absurd and ludicrous, or it may closely border on truth and admit of being most spaciously defended. But whether in the adoration of the idol of the juggernaut, or in the adoration of the host in St. Peter's at Rome, the principle of idolatry is in reality the same. In either case, the honor due to God is turned aside from him, and it is bestowed on that which is not God. And whenever this is done, whether in heathen temples or in professedly Christian churches, there is an act of idolatry. It is not necessary for a man formally to deny God and Christ in order to be an idolater. Far from it. Professed reverence for the God of the Bible and actual idolatry are perfectly compatible. They have often gone side by side, and they still do. The children of Israel never thought of renouncing God when they persuaded Aaron to make the golden calf. These be thy gods, they said, these be your Elohim, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the feast in honor of the calf was kept as a feast unto Jehovah. That's the way they kept it. Jeroboam, again, never pretended to ask his ten tribes to cast off their allegiance to the God of David and Solomon when they set up the calves of gold in Dan and Bethel. He only said, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, your Elohim, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. 1 Kings 12:28. In both instances we should observe the idol was not set up as a rival to God, but under the pretense of being a help, a stepping stone to God's service. But in both instances, a great sin was committed. The honor due to God was given to a visible representation of him. The majesty of Jehovah was offended. The second commandment was broken. There was, in the eyes of God, a flagrant act of idolatry. I continue to read from Ryle. Let us mark this well. It is high time to dismiss from our minds those loose ideas about idolatry which are common in this day. We must not think, as many do, that there are only two kinds of idolatry. That is, be the spiritual idolatry, the man who loves his wife or child or money more than God, and the open, gross idolatry, the man who bows down to an image of wood or metal or stone because he knows no better. We may rest assured that idolatry is a sin which occupies a far wider field than this. It is not merely a thing in Hindustan that we may hear of and pity at missionary meetings. Yet is it a thing confined to our own hearts that we may confess it before the mercy seat upon our knees. It is a pestilence that walks in the Church of Christ to a much greater extent than many suppose. It is an evil like the man of sin that sits in the very temple of God. It is a sin that we all need to watch against and to pray against continually. It creeps into our religious worship insensibly and is upon us before we are aware. These are tremendous words, or those are tremendous words which Isaiah spoke to the formal Jew, not to the worshiper of Baal, but to the man who actually came to the temple. And Isaiah said, "He that killeth an ox, it is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol." This is that sin which God has specially denounced in his word. One commandment out of 10 is devoted to the prohibition of it. Not one of all the 10 contains such a solemn declaration of God's character and of his judgment against the disobedient. "I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and of the third and the fourth generation of them that hate." Not one, perhaps, but of all the 10 is so emphatically repeated and amplified, especially in the fourth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Therefore, if we go to the Word, we can know God's attitude toward idolatry. Idolatry of every type. So, we may read of high places and false gods, and we might think that none of these things take place. But let me tell you that the besetting end of Israel was idolatry, and this is a sin that is found today everywhere in the visible church. Well, those were the words of J.C. Ryle, and good words they are indeed. Well, we've traveled rather hurriedly through the book of Isaiah. At least we have given our mind to it. We have read the Word of God, and we have thought upon it. And it has been a pleasure to go through this. I have noted some things that I just had not seen so clearly before. Especially in the review of this before I brought this lesson study that I had to make to get things straightened out once again in my own mind, and especially those passages that jump way out at us because they are prophetic, and we thank the Lord for being able to teach you this very important book. And so until we meet again around the Word of God, and what a blessed thing it is to be able to meet with people around the Word of God by means of this tape-recorded ministry, I bid you goodbye. I pray that God's richest blessings shall rest upon any effort that you put forth to walk in the ways of the Lord or to know His truth. May God's lines for you fall in pleasant places. That is my desire for you. Yours in truth, Otis Q. Sellers.